All right, tonight we're going to be doing kind of a refresher course, but it's not going to be, the first part's going to be more of a challenge to us, the second part in the same way, but kind of a reminder of why we need to be out soul winning. We're going to be looking at a lot of scripture. We don't have a text that we're going to be starting out with because we have a ton of scripture that we're going to be looking at throughout the lesson. I thought of this as we start out. What kind of Christian would we be, or are we, when we say that the Savior, and in some ways it is true, the Savior is for me, but if we're saying that selfishly, I got salvation, and it's all for me, but there's a whole lot of people that don't have it. And what kind of Christians are we if we don't share that? It would kind of be thinking of men that were in a shipwreck and they were content to lower the lifeboat and get in themselves when there are a whole bunch of other people that needed to get into that lifeboat, and we wouldn't share in helping them be rescued. It would be like people going through a famine, and we had the ability to help people out, but we hold it all in for ourselves. And so when it comes to soul winning and witnessing, we need to, I'm going to divide it into two halves, all right? So the first half is the call to personal evangelism. So we're going to look at the call for personal evangelism. And then the second half, point two, is going to be the reason for personal evangelism. So point one, and I got, I'm in outline form tonight because it's more teaching. So the call to personal evangelism, and then I've divided that into two areas. All right, and so we have two areas. One is four reasons why we should engage in personal evangelism. These are all scriptural reasons. So I'm going to give you four reasons under the call to personal evangelism of why we should engage. And then I'm going to give you four excuses that the Bible gives us biblical reasons to knock those excuses out. But normally, and there are probably other excuses, but I'm going to look at four reasons to engage and four excuses that we normally give to not go soul winning. All right, so let's pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us as we look at this idea of soul winning and witnessing. I pray that you'd help us to be engaged in giving the gospel to others. Well, thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So first, the four reasons to engage in personal evangelism. Number one, it's inherent in the Great Commission. What is the Great Commission? Matthew 28 and verse 18 through 20. If you're writing scripture down, I'll list them out. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Mark 16 and verse 15. Luke 24, 46 through 48, and Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. It's inherent in the Great Commission. What does it say in Matthew 28? And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded them. So it's inherent in the Great Commission. The commission was given, and some people, their excuse is saying, well, that was given to the disciples. Okay? Well, you know this in studying scripture. There's all scripture is given for by inspiration, and it's profitable. All of it is given also to me. So this given to the disciples, we, and this has been historically as a church, as we have studied scripture, we know that that Great Commission wasn't just given to the disciples. It was given to the church or the disciples corporately. All right, and so that's passed down to you and I now. And why is that so? The 11 individuals, how would they be able to fulfill that Great Commission? Did you see what it said? It said that you need to teach all nations. There was 11 of them. How is that? Because it's been passed down now corporately so that all of us, all churches, all Christians are responsible for reaching everybody with the gospel. That's our job. Fulfilling it is well beyond the scope of an ability of any individual. All right, currently, and it may have grown, even as we speak now is growing, all right? The last I checked, there's well over 7 billion people. So how is our church going to reach 7 billion people? There's over 200 sovereign nations in the world. How in the world are we going to reach 200 sovereign nations? Preaching the gospel to every soul, baptizing and discipling all who believe, is a physical, geographical, and chronological impossibility. So how do we do it? Well, we do it because corporately it's handed down to us. All Christians are responsible. So by engaging in personal evangelism, we are fulfilling the Great Commission. It was given to the church, and so we need to follow that. It is a commission given to us to win souls. All right, so number one, if we're looking at the four reasons to engage in personal evangelism, number one is it's inherent in the Great Commission. Number two, it is obedience to the Great Commandment. All right, that's different than the Great Commission. All right, the Great Commission, go ye into all the world. So what is the Great Commandment? What is the Great Commandment? Anybody know? Matthew 22. If you want, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. So you'd say, wait a minute. How in the world am I fulfilling the great commandment by going soul winning? Because if ye love me, you'll keep my commandments. And is the command to go out and go witnessing, is that a command of God? Yes, it is a command of God. It's the Great Commission. So I am fulfilling the Great Commandment when I show love for God by obeying Him. If I don't obey Him, then I'm not fulfilling the Great Commandment. All right, the Great Commandment says that I love God with all my heart and all my soul, all my mind, all my strength. And that means one of the things that I do is I obey His commands. One of the commands is to go out and witness. Not just yes, I should come to church. Yes, there are other things that show that I love Him. But one of the things is by being a witness. John 14, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14, 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Luke 6, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? All of those, Christ was saying, if you're going to love God, you're going to do what He says. And God commands us to seek souls. Where does He say that? Matthew 4. 19, and He saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. In Acts 10, Peter is talking, and Peter says this, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is He which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. So, two reasons quickly why I should be engaged in personal evangelism. It's inherent in the Great Commission. Secondly, I am obeying the Great Commandment. Thirdly, it is a wise pursuit. It is a wise pursuit. Proverbs 11:30 says this, he that winneth souls is wise. Daniel 12, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So, why is it wise? Why is it wise? Because James 4:14 says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. It is a wise pursuit of my life to do that which is the most important. I only have so much time in this life. I cannot do everything, and you cannot do everything. And so then you have to prioritize things. We all have to do that. We all have to make choices. And so someday, We're going to stand before God and you're going to answer for the things done. That's the judgment seat of Christ. If you believe the Bible properly and Corinthians, all right, we're gonna stand before Christ at the judgment seat, and that is not for the unsaved, that's for the saved. And as a saved individual, God has given me talents, He's given me opportunities, He's given me time, He's given me opportunities here on this earth, and He's gonna say, "So, you chose this, 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 and I'm gonna answer for it, and so will you." I only have so much time, so I want to be using my time wisely. Why? Because life is short. Wisdom, the Bible says this, wisdom focuses on the eternal. Where do I find that? Psalm 90:12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto, guess what? Wisdom. A wise Christian realizes eternity is at stake. And so we have to make choices. So I'm going to share with others about Christ. Why? Because it's a wise pursuit. A wise person sees that it's not just this temporal world that it's all about. And so that's why. Why? And I can't force everybody to go soul winning. But I ask you. All right, and even I was kind of knocking the college a few weeks ago when we started into sow the seed. Like, oh, what am I supposed to do? I got to hand out three tracts a week. And I was kind of chiding them a little bit. Why? Because a lot of the college students say that they're going to be in full-time service and you can't pass out three tracts a week. I say, you're a fool then. Because a wise person, especially going into full-time service, realizes that, guess what? This is my livelihood. If anybody should be thinking about eternal things, it should be those that study the Word of God all the time. Saying, man, time is short. Eternity is long. Think about your choices. It's a wise pursuit. Why? Life is short. Wisdom focuses on the eternal. And wisdom produces true happiness. How do I know that? Proverbs 3. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. So, godly wisdom produces happiness in my life. Godly wisdom produces happiness. So a soul winner is a wise person. Why? He that winneth souls is wise. So what are some reasons that I should be engaged in personal evangelism? It's inherent in the Great Commission. It is obedience to the Great Commandment. It is a wise pursuit. Fourthly, I said there was four pros, four reasons to engage. The fourth one is it brings reward. So there's two ways it brings reward. It brings reward, believe it or not, in this life. It does. All right. It says in John 4, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Guess when some of that rejoicing is? Here on this earth. All right. You're not going to lead someone to the Lord and then afterwards they're going to be like, man, alive? Why did you do that? You just saved my soul from eternal damnation. I want it, as I've studied scripture, do you realize hell has fire, torment, where the worm dieth not? I could have been there. Right? You're normally not going to have somebody that's saved doing that to you. You know what you're going to have them doing? Rejoicing with you. That's what the Bible says. Remember in Psalm 126, Psalm 126 says this, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. That sounds like in the present. So, why should I engage in soul winning? It's inherent in the Great Commission. I'm obeying the Great Commandment. It's a wise pursuit, and it brings reward in this life, but then also in the life to come. It brings reward. Matthew 25, 19 through 29 is the story of the servants with the talents. And what do they want to hear? They want to hear at the end from the master, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And it's talking about a judging time. We just talked about that in 2 Corinthians 5. It's the judgment seat of Christ. It's going to take place in heaven. And it's a judgment of the believer's works. It's not a judgment of salvation. It's a judgment of your works. You will be judged by what you do. All right, and this is what's interesting. And if you want to turn there, I've already marked a bunch of these. It's 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter 3 says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" So we see what he's saying. He says there's judgment coming. So because of that, you should be holy. And then it says, "Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." Know what that is saying in 2 Peter 3, 10 through 12? Earthly things, what's going to happen to them? They're gone. Burned up. So, guess what reward I can send ahead? Eternal things. You're not, just so you know, if you can stockpile all you want in your 401k, all right, you can build up all the equity in your house, but when you die, all right, they're not going to be looking and be like, "Oh, yeah, wow." They're not really going to be impressed by your house down here. They're not going to be impressed by your bank account. But it could be that there's some folks up there that will recognize you, because you were maybe in the nursing homes, or I've been talking about this a lot to our bus folks. All right, our bus folks, we it's hard. I'm not going to say that the bus ministry is easy. It's hard. It is not for everybody. I understand that, but it is probably the top ministry that we do here. You know why? We've chosen that. I've chosen that. All right. That's my job, to pray and find God's leading on it. And, so going out, knocking on doors, and, there's folks in every section tonight. I looked out every section sitting here that are sitting here with us because of the bus ministry. So why are we out there doing it? Yes, it's hard. I require a lot. All right, and even this weekend, ask Eric Ramos, we're having a fair day. I'm like, "Oh, why are you doing that?" And some of you, you whine, you cry, and you're like, "Oh, you know, all right, I understand it." And so what do you got to do? "Oh, I got to have my nappy." All right, I understand it. All right, but then understand also that I can say you're an old geezer. All right, yeah, you got to have your nappy. Like, "Oh, I'm just so tired." All right, I know. All right, my 3-year-old was tired at that stage too. All right, but guess what? We push a little bit. Why? Because we see past the temporal. Because those temporal things are going to be burned up. I have folks that, and it is taxing. It is hard. It is very hard, and I know that, but I still keep up. All right, I still keep my CDL license. You know why I keep my CDL license? Because if it happened to be that we didn't have enough bus drivers here. I'm not going to let it be, you know, that bus license, I'll get in a bus. There's nothing more enjoyable to sit there and see little kids running up on the bus. And see some of them coming down the hallways. It's enjoyable. Why do we do all that? We do it because there's something that you can take to heaven. That's souls. We can take souls to heaven. And so we have some ministries. And yes, I know they cost a little bit. And I know they take a lot of energy. But we have it. And what you'll find is soul winning is the same way. Like, oh yeah, I have my visitation. I understand that. But my challenge, and last summer, some of you, and it's sad to me if you never got out and knocked on a door. Because this is what I can pretty much tell you. You're not fulfilling the Great Commission and you're not fulfilling the Great Commandment. Knocking on doors. I'm getting set up. In fact, I'm working on the staff right now to do this. Because June, July, August, what I'm hoping to do, I want to take every excuse from anybody that wants to get out knocking on doors. Every excuse. So I'm going to be working on packets. So if you say, well, I'm a little shy, then will you go down streets and just hang packets on doors? Just hang packets. All right? I've got probably 20 areas, 22 areas that we have around us within 20 miles or so. You say, well, I'm just a little shy. Can you just go up and hang something on a door? You don't have to say anything. You go up there, sneak up, hang it on the door, and run. Why? Because guess what? That packet will have all the information for them. And then we can follow up. Or then as a staff, what I'm asking them to do, I'm trying to have Monday through Saturday, basically every day of the week. All right. You know, I was doing it first, so I got to pick my day. My day is Wednesday afternoon. Okay. But, somebody on the staff, hopefully at any evening, is going to be out knocking on doors. And we're going to post that. You can walk by and look and say, oh, you know what? I'll call them. You don't have someone to go with? Go with me. All right, I'll split up. Usually I go with my wife or I go with one of my kids. We'll split up somehow. You get a hold of us. Why? I want to take every excuse away. We have a time at 9 o'clock in the morning, and then Brother Ramos has some commitments through the end of May. But in June, we're going to start up at 1:30. He can go on Saturday. You know why we're doing a bunch of those times? I want to take every excuse away. You want to go door knocking? I even have talked to some people, and if we can get somebody Sunday afternoon, we'll get them. Why? Because part of understanding, how are people in your neighborhood going to know about Christ? Well, they're just going to feel it. Well, I don't know. Well, I'm not feeling it. Okay. We got to tell them. And the way they hear about it is sometimes knocking on a door. Knocking on a door and telling, I don't care if it's five doors a week, then knock on five doors a week. Why? Because people need to hear about Christ. And all my old goats here are like, oh, they know about Fairhaven. I dare you to knock on a door. I knock on doors all the time, and this is what they say. Who are you? Who are you? And the reason you're saying that is to justify yourself not knocking on doors. They don't know us. How many new people have moved into this area? And they don't know Christ. And they need to hear about Christ. And one way we can do that is we knock on doors. So it brings rewards. So four reasons that we have, and I think we're only going to get through the reasons here. All right. I wanted to talk about the call to personal evangelism, and that is four reasons to engage, and then four excuses. Let me give you the four excuses. All right, and then we'll kind of close with some reasons for personal evangelism. So the call to personal evangelism, there are four reasons to engage, four excuses that are common for not engaging. Number one, evangelism is not my spiritual gift. Pastor Umerkoss taught on spiritual gifts, and I'm sure he covered this. There is no spiritual gift of evangelism. By that, and the serving gifts in Romans 12 and 1 Peter 4, evangelism is not included. Evangelism is not even found among the assigned gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In fact, an evangelist is a gift to the church in Ephesians 4:11. And evangelism is a task for everyone, Acts 8:4. The church members were in Acts 8, and it says they went everywhere preaching the word. That word preaching, the Greek word, is evangelize. That's a lot of times in the Bible when it says preach and it's collectively, it's meant to all Christians. Evangelize. So evangelism is not my spiritual gift. That's not in the Bible. You're a heretic. All right, number two. I am afraid of confronting people. Proverbs 29. The fear of man bringeth a snare. We all have differing temperaments and personalities. God created us that way. And great Christians have always confronted people. 1 Corinthians 2, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. That's Paul talking. The Apostle Paul. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. What does it sound like the Apostle Paul? Was he afraid? Yes. I'm afraid of confronting people. Great Christians have always confronted people. We are called upon to bear the reproach of Christ. Acts 5, 1 Peter 4. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you, and on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. I am afraid. We're not supposed to be afraid of Christ. He bore our shame. For 2 Timothy 1, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And also, I'm afraid soul winning is not about you. It's about Christ. It's about Christ. So remember to trust in him. Excuse number three, I don't know enough to witness for Christ. Well, here's a great verse for you, 1 Corinthians 1. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Then go out there and be a fool. All right? Isn't that what God says? You don't have to be really smart. No study or learning is necessary. In fact, I have an example to show you. In John chapter 9, remember when the blind man was cured of his blindness? This is what he said. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that wherein I was blind, now I see. You know what you can tell folks? I don't know a lot of the theology, but this is what I know. And you can even take a simple tract and go through the tract. But what you can tell them is what Christ did in your life, how he transformed you, how he changed you, and just say, you know, and if you don't, would you at least take some of these verses? That's why I carry, all right, I carry Gospel of John's. You know why I carry Gospel of John's? Because if they won't listen, take this and read it. Read the Word of God. All right, so I don't know enough to witness. That's not an excuse. No study or learning is necessary. A desire to win souls will increase your thirst for the Bible. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Guess what it says next? A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. The reason that maybe you don't know is because you're not a workman for the Lord. A workman studies and he gets at it. So, four excuses. Evangelism's not my spiritual gift. I'm afraid. I don't know enough. Number four, people don't want to listen. So is your job to get people to listen? No. No, we're not held responsible for what men do with Christ. We're held accountable for what we do with the gospel of Christ. Acts 13, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. God rewards persistence. Galatians 6, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And there's a time to sow and there's a time to reap. To everything there is a season, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Sometimes there's seasons. You're just sowing and sowing and sowing. And you're not reaping much. You're still doing your job. All right, so are you saying that a person that's a farmer and he goes out there and he sows the seed and he stands there like, now that was worthless. I'm not seeing anything. You're like, well, wait a minute. I mean, nothing would grow if you didn't sow the seed. I think sometimes we forget that sometimes it takes a little while. Sometimes it may take years. So be faithful in sowing. Let me just then quickly give you a couple of things and then we'll close. All right? We were longer than what I wanted to on the call to evangelism. I wanted to give us some reasons for personal evangelism. And these ones are more doctrinal, I would say. Why do I need to share the gospel? One, every human being is a sinner. Man is a sinner by birth, by nature, by choice, by deed. All of that is scriptural. He's a sinner. There's no way on their own they can get to heaven. No way. So we must bear that truth to them. Another reason for personal evangelism is all sin is offensive to God. All sin is offensive to God. And that's found even in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1. Romans 3, 10 through 18. And so then the third reason for personal evangelism, every human being is a sinner. All sin is offensive. And three, there's consequences for sin. We know this. Why? Because we've found the truth. And so here's a person out there and they're just living the life. Doing whatever. Come on, man. Just live it up. There's consequences to sin. We know that. And the consequence for an unsaved person in their sin is eternal death. It's not just dying and they go into limbo or something. It's eternal damnation. It's burning in hell forever and ever and ever. We know that. That's a reason to share the gospel with others. Man is lost. And so what does that mean? Man does not know the way. They're in peril. They don't have an excuse. We were reading through that in Romans 1. They cannot please God on their own. Those are all reasons because the consequences of their sin is death. Close with this. You know, a soul winner, I understand. You should have some tact. But part of soul winning is just flat out giving the gospel. I read a story of a lady, and she was visiting in a minister's family, and the people in the family told this lady of a family right down in the neighborhood, and they were irreligious and they never went to church. And the lady in the home said, you know what, I'll go and see them. I want to see if they want to come out to church or if they know about Christ. And one of the people in the home said, well, what are you going to have for an excuse? Here, I've been meaning to give this to this family, so you take it with you, and you have an excuse then to go up to the door. And the lady, this was convicting to me. This is what the lady said. I don't want an excuse. I want them to know that someone is interested in their soul. I was like, You know, because sometimes I've got to have a reason. No, you don't. You know what reason you have? They're dying and going to hell. And that alone is enough, and that should motivate us and say, hey, nobody may have told you in the neighborhood, but I care about you. I care about you, and you know what? Maybe you don't have time right now. You don't have time maybe for us to sit down and go through some of these things. But would you take this? Would you let me come back? Would you let me come back? Because I care about your soul. It's going to spend eternity somewhere. And you know what's happening in America? Less and less people are thinking about it. Less and less people are thinking about where they're going to spend eternity. And now it's just like, I don't really believe in that. Well, that's why we need to give them the gospel. The gospel transforms people. It's changed our lives. It's made us so different. And yes, we're not perfect people. And yes, we don't do everything perfect, because we're still on this earth, and we're enclosed in our flesh. But even enclosed in this flesh, this life is so much better as a Christian. And we know that. And there are lost folks around you. And I know it can be frustrating. But you don't need any other excuse than that you care for their soul. That's enough. So tell them about Christ. Heavenly Father, I pray that this would be a good reminder as we come into the end of May and June and July and August. I pray that it would be a reminder to us to be always active in this area of soul winning and witnessing. Bless our efforts, Lord. Even next Thursday, I pray that you give us good weather. And I pray that even then we would see some fruit in our church services. Lord, not even just in our church services, just folks that get saved, Lord, because their life will change by being saved. Well, thank you for what you do, in Jesus' name. Amen.